a passionate instigator and dynamic problem solver. Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Om Time, where we're changing the world, wait for it, one Om at a time. And here on the Dr. Kevin Show, usually the first Thursday of every month, which this would be it, we would be having Matt Connerton on, and we would be discussing kind of like the politics of the world, what's going on, all those things that Matt and I like to talk about on a monthly basis and, you know, see if we can solve all the problems of the world. But Matt had a problem in the world that could not be solved tonight, so he will be on next week. So for those of you who tune in for the first Thursday to hear Matt and I talk, get ready to flexibly accept a sudden change. I am excited to say, however, that I have taken out of the archives, out of the mothballs, out of the annals of history, from the mist of time, I have brought in for this week's show none other than Lori Powers Otto, my former regular co-host for Thoughtful Thursdays every second of the month. She used to also tune in at the astrology show regularly, and of course, we did the Web of Light TV show together. And that's all before she got tired of me and dumped my ass. But I did convince her to come back in and do a little special that we're calling Holidays, Holy Days, and Creating New Traditions. So I'm excited to be back on air with one of my favorite people. Lori, how are you?
I am wonderful, Dr. Kevin, and I didn't dump your ass. Thank you. I love and adore you. You know that. Throw me under the bus. I see how it is.
No. I would never throw you under the bus. So, you have to start before we get into everything to do with today's show. And I've got a few things lined up I want to share with you and talk about. How are you doing? I know that actually, unfortunately, one of the things is I know you had some health issues in your family that took a lot of time and energy, but do tell. Are things going well?
Well, I've got my health mostly back on the right track. Okay. My mother died. She is alive and well. But my cousin is still struggling with the post-COVID effects. It's affecting his heart and his diabetes, and he needs surgery but can't have it yet. So that's the thing that we're all dealing with. And, you know, my daughter and her whole family all have COVID right now. Oh. So that's something we're dealing with, and there's way more, but I won't bore your listeners with that. So I've been a very busy girl.
You have been a busy girl. So, but your health is back, and that's good, and that's important, and hopefully some of the stuff will calm down, and who knows, 2022 may be a more occasional return to the Dr. Kevin Show of the fabulous Lori. Who knows?
That's it. Spirit allows it. I would love to come back more often. Like I said, life's a little crazy. But but you know, it's all good. You know, it's all good. So yep. How about you? You're doing good? I've missed you. I've terribly missed you.
Well, I have missed you as well, honey. And, you know, with the way things are, we don't even, you know, we used to occasionally sneak away privately and not tell your husband or my husband. And we'd have a good time without them. And we haven't even managed to be able to do that.
Oh, no. So,
but, it was, you know, things will be what they will be. And, I mean, I'm still wicked busy. And I have a lot of things on my plate. I can't quite announce everything on my plate, but I am, I do have a new book getting released later this month after torturous edits back and forth, but we are in the very last, I've got to sit down one more time, and we should have out finally X Equals Conspiracy, which is my science fiction book. So I'm happy to report on that.
Excellent, excellent.
Yep. So that means I got a fantasy fiction out in 2020 and a science fiction out in 2021. And I think in 2022, I'm going to sleep through the year.
That's a good idea. I like that.
I think as you saw on, I think you commented on my Facebook page, I finally decided to go from a teenager in a Mustang to an adult in a Mercedes. So I made that transition. I still kept my convertible though. I'm not going to give my convertible up. So that's fun. That was my early Christmas gift to myself. I think one should always buy themselves the best Christmas gift.
Of course.
Hey, you know,
love yourself.
Gotta love yourself. Absolutely. But, you know, business is still busy. I went into a slugfest there, Miss Lori, where I think I was down to only doing maybe 17, 18, maybe 20 hours of clients a week. And now it's up around the 30 mark again. I guess Spirit's just not going to let me be sluggy for any length of time.
I guess not.
But yeah, I mean, I've got a master's class going. This time it's a self-mastery through astrology. So it's an astrology self-mastery class. That's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And you will have to stay tuned. We will have to talk offline because I can't make any official announcements, but I have bought a new business that will be launching January 1st.
Ooh.
In addition to everything else I do.
Well, some people are just a glutton for punishment. What can I say?
I know. So anyway, so life is busy. Life is active and, lots of exciting changes going on. And, you know, I'm walking around in the woods, but I have my Santa hat on. I have my Yoda wearing a Santa Claus outfit, holding a bag on, t-shirt, and I'm still spreading holiday joy.
Awesome. Love it. Love it.
So, you know, one of the things I wanted to talk about in this show, and I found this thing that was posted, and I actually wanted to share it on air. I shared it on my timeline. You may have seen it because enough people liked it. I can't tell you everybody who liked it, but
right.
I thought it would be a great place to start is to share this thing because I thought it was really cool. And then it made me think, you know, every year I usually talk about how these are holy days. And they are still holy days, and I still want to make sure that's part of it. But I want to talk some more about traditions and what makes the holidays for us, and what can we do about it. But here is, it's called Attention to All Parents Who Need to Tell the Truth About Santa.
Son. I could see that.
The son says, Dad, I think I'm old enough now. Is there a Santa Claus? Dad, okay, I agree that you're old enough. But before I tell you, I have a question for you. You see, the truth is a dangerous gift. Once you know something, you can't unknow it. Once you know the truth about Santa Claus, you will never again understand and relate to him as you do now. So my question is, are you sure you want to know? There was a brief pause. Yes, I want to know. Okay, I'll tell you. Yes, there is a Santa Claus. The son says, really? Yes, really. But he's not an old man with a beard and a red suit. That's just what we tell kids. You see, kids are too young to understand the true nature of Santa Claus. So we explain it to them in a way that they can understand. The truth about Santa Claus is that he's not a person at all. He's an idea. Think of all those presents Santa gave you over the years. I actually bought those myself. I watched you open them. And did it bother me that you didn't thank me? Of course not. In fact, it gave me great pleasure. You see, Santa Claus is the idea of giving for the sake of giving, without thought of thanks or acknowledgement. When I saw that woman collapse on the subway last week and call for help, I knew that she'd never know that it was me that summoned the ambulance. I was being Santa Claus when I did that. The son, oh, Dad. So now that you know, you're part of it. You have to be Santa Claus too now. That means you can never tell a young kid the secret. And you have to help us select Santa presents for them. And most important, you have to look for opportunities to help people. Got it? Help each other this Christmas and be kind. So, what did you think?
Well, I did see that on your Facebook, and I like parts of it, and I don't like parts of it. And I'll tell you, the part I don't like is that I don't like parents lying to their kids and making up Santa Claus, because there are some kids who get nothing, and then the kids are confused why they got stuff and, you know, Johnny didn't get anything. And it just happened, a woman in yoga class does a toy drive every year for, you know, Toys for Tots. And her 5-year-old daughter asked her that very question. Why do we have to have a toy drive if Santa Claus will give out toys? And the mom didn't know how to answer. She thought about it for a second, and she said, we give you toys all throughout the year. Some kids don't get toys all throughout the year, so that's what these toys are for. So she lied to her daughter and then lied on top of it just to keep a myth alive. And I have a problem with that, because so many kids feel betrayed when they find out there is a Santa Claus, isn't a Santa Claus. But what I love about this story is the dad told him that Santa Claus wasn't a real person, and spun it in such a wonderful and positive and beautiful way. Because if everybody thought of Santa Claus as that version of Santa Claus, as the doing kind things for the sake of doing them, of being a nice person and helping others just for the sake of doing it, then I'd be all for Santa Claus. And
go ahead.
That's how I feel about that.
Well, and I think that you make a good point. You know, I always go back to this with, there is, at what age do we reality dose a child? At what age do we support them to have a childhood? And can we find better and kinder ways to do that? Absolutely. And unfortunately, some children don't get to have much, if any, of a childhood. And, you know, I always remember that I did a creative writing paper when I was in the 11th grade defending the fact that there was a Santa Claus, because my creative writing teacher made a statement about, so I want everybody to write a story about how you felt when there wasn't, that there wasn't a Santa Claus. And that was our creative writing assignment. And I wrote this paper saying, I never found out that there wasn't a Santa Claus. What I found out was, you know, I didn't say it exactly as this person said it, but I said, that Santa Claus is a spirit. It's an idea. That Santa Claus lives as long as we keep it alive. And, you know, but I made this whole case. And so in the 11th grade, I am defending that I still believe that there was a Santa Claus, because I believe that there were people that still did selfless things in the world. I think that was more of my approach. As long as there are people who give freely and do selfless things and help people in need, then there are, those people are keeping the energy of Santa Claus alive. And, you know, what happened, you know, and in my case, what happened was my creative writing teacher announced to the class that Mr. Emery thinks there's still a Santa Claus, and actually tried to challenge me and humiliate me about it.
See, that's what I don't like about Santa Claus, because you were right, and he couldn't put his mind around that.
Yep.
But, and that's I was just going to say, that's why I get so frustrated. You know, it's like I got a, go ahead. Yeah. No, go ahead, Kevin.
But I think that what frustrates me most about keeping Santa Claus alive is as a weapon, is a weaponization of Santa Claus as to why you must behave.
Right. And I have a problem with that.
Yep. That's what always bothers me about Santa Claus, because, and that plays into the part that you were saying, which was, you know, kids that come from poor homes, or, you know, are in foster care or orphanages or places like this, they're going to believe that Santa Claus thought that they were bad children.
Right.
And that part of it breaks my heart. And yet, there, it does not make me want to throw it all away. There's, because I think that, you know, I also struggle with the commercialism of it. That it's all about giving toys, as if it's all about stuff.
Exactly.
I think we've done horrible things to something that could be truly beautiful. And, you know, and all it's done is it's been turned into, you know, a retail sales pitch.
Yeah. And it's funny, because my 11-year-old granddaughter said to me several weeks ago, I hate what they've done to Christmas. I hate that they make it all about presents and, you know, buying people stuff, and not about family and love, or, you know, I don't know exactly how she put it, but, you know, even my 11-year-old granddaughter's tired with the commercialism and the fakeness.
And we'll be right back on the Dr. Kevin Show, Holidays, Holy Days, and Creating Traditions, with Lori Powers-Otto and Dr. Kevin.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. Om Times. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
COVID-19, brought to you by CDC and the Ad Council.
If you're feeling increasingly lonely right now, you're not alone. It's totally normal. Even though we may not be able to get together in person, connecting virtually with friends and family still gives you a chance to interact with people and may help raise your spirits. Join a virtual book club, set up group text chats, or online video coffee breaks with coworkers.
Find more self-care and coping tips at coping-19.org.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Ohm Times. This is a live call-in show, and you may call in at 202-570-7057. That's 202-570-7057. You can call in and be part of the conversation with myself, Dr. Kevin, and the lovely Lori. I feel like I should be saying Carol Merrill or Vanna White, but, you know, that would probably come across as dismissive, and I certainly would never put you in that light. But Lori Powers Otto, multiple book author, spiritual coach and counselor, talented psychic, and, you know, a rocking grandmother. Did I get all the stuff right,
Lori? Well, you know, there's so many more titles. Those are all good. Those are the highlights.
You can throw in any kind of titles you would like. So feel free here on the Dr. Kevin Show. And again, it's a live call-in show. Call in and be part of the conversation. So I think that the question, you know, the question begs is it time to change our traditions? Now, I've been encouraging people I've worked with for years, young couples when they're having their first kid or their first Christmas together, and you know, even if they haven't started a family yet, of what traditions do you want to pass on? What is the tradition? Because no time in the near future are they going to stop giving us Christmas off as a holiday. And there's no time in the near future that we're not going to see some version of Black Friday and be inundated with commercialism. No time in the near future are they going to stop showing all of those Christmas movies, some which I actually love. I'm a big Christmas Carol fan, 1954, Alistair Sims version. It's my favorite.
Yes. Huh? My favorite as well.
I play it. I watch it every year. I own it and I watch it. And I also have the 32 version with Reginald Owens. I don't watch that as often. I don't watch that every year, but every two or three years I watch it. Last year I added in the Patrick Stewart one, and I like that too. But gotta have Alistair Sims, Mr. Scrooge. Let's talk about, first of all, this is considered a holy time of the year for almost every major religion. Do we need to make these closer to holy days, or do we need to make these days somehow maybe sacred but not holy? What are your thoughts, Lori?
I think we should make them. The word sacred for a lot of people means off limits somehow. So, and not to me, but I know a lot of people that, you know, if something's sacred, they don't want to touch it or mess with it, right? So I think keeping them holy and keeping them special and inclusive are what's most important to me, because they're spiritual days, they're magical days. You know, it's not just one day, and it's not just because this day is called this, you know, holiday and that day is called that holiday, but this whole time frame is just sacred in a way that you don't get the rest of the year. I don't know if it's the darkness or the I don't know what it is, but it just has a better, a different feel to it, a more intimate feel to it. And I'd like people to embrace that instead of the commercialism. Does that all make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I think that, and I'm kind of shooting from the hip here because I came up with the title of the show and then proceeded to do, you know, 54,000 other things before we got on air, because I just came up with the title of the show yesterday when I realized that, and reached out to you to have you say yes, you'd come on. But I think that traditions, I like my traditions like I like my religions. I like them living. I like mm-hmm. them evolving. I like them inclusive. And I've been riding that horse of calling these holy days instead of holidays for over a decade now. I think I first taught my class on surviving the holidays, which was H-O-L-I-D-A-Z-E. I think I probably first taught that class, over a decade ago. But in teaching that class, I really pushed of, we need to go from the holidays of, you know, over drinking, over eating, over indulging, over spending, you know, and all of that stuff into making it more holy days. But now I kind of stand and I look at what so many religions have done to support hate and divisiveness in the world.
Right.
And I struggle of how can I define holy in a way that is sacred to me. Now, I don't have any children. I have two cats and a husband, and he's pagan, and I'm a, you know, basically a, as I like to say it, I'm a woo-woo, I'm a woo-woo UU deist, Unitarian Universalist deist. And like any good deist, I actually keep my relationship between me and my maker, so to speak. And I don't mean Mr. Coffee. Private. It's individual. It's
yeah.
Intimate. You know. So
as it
go ahead.
Oh yeah, I was just saying as it should be.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be on display for the whole world. That's personal. That's private.
I have never had the need to have anybody else validate the existence of my God. And so often religion is about validating that my God is the right God. So this time of year, I mean, we have Kwanzaa and Hanukkah and we have Christmas and we have Yule and we have all of these things. But I think tradition-wise, I look back to the essence. If I was going to be involved with a family unit for any reason, I would create traditions of, it is a time for family to come together. It's a time to meditate and to have gratitude for what we have in the world. And it's a time to do acts of kindness for those who may have less. It's time to explore things together, whether that's teaching, you know, making cookies or teaching something. I've always felt like part of, and unfortunately with the way this year has gone, this is going to be the first year in a long time that I haven't made at least one handmade gift to give out.
Mm.
And it's a little sad for me. I mean,
yeah.
I get what I'm doing in the world is important, and I know I help a lot of people. And I know that there are things being required of me right now due to certain things going on with both my mother and my husband that don't allow me that time that I would take in previous years to, you know, to try to make something. I don't care. Maybe it's a scarf, an afghan, a bedspread, a sweater. There were some years where it was just making food, making dipping oil with herbs growing out of my garden. But I wanted every gift to have love.
Right.
I wanted the person to feel I took the time and energy, and with you in mind, I have created something that says, I love you.
Right. Right. And that's how it should be.
Yeah. I think it would be a much better idea if everybody in a group or a tribe or a family unit got one gift of meaning and gave one gift of meaning.
Yeah. I mean, that to me would do so much more good and spread so much more love in this world just doing that. And that shouldn't be a hard thing to do. But as you know, people get set into their traditions and their ways, and they think I have to do X, Y, and Z, and then it has to be done this way. And I mean, they drive themselves insane. And for most people, this time of year, instead of being the sacred, holy time it should be, is full of stress and frustration and chaos. And what we don't realize is we're causing that ourselves, and we can choose to do it differently.
So I think that one of the problems is that we are not stuck in our holidays and their traditions. We are trapped. We are trapped. And that somehow the familiarity gives us some kind of false comfort, or they are obligatory. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I think you're right. The word term trapped is perfect, because I probably told you this before, but I used to work with a woman that every year she put her Christmas tree up the day after Thanksgiving, and she took it down on New Year's Day. Every year, without fail. And in one year, she couldn't because of circumstances. It was so upsetting to her. She got so physically ill. I mean, we were worried she was going to die for a few days. Just because she couldn't do things the way they always were. And I asked her, I said, why is this affecting you so badly? Why do you have to do it this way? And her response was, because that's the way we've always done it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm talking about. People bring that chaos into their own lives. Nothing bad was going to happen because she couldn't put her tree up the day after Thanksgiving. Nothing bad. And nothing bad did happen other than she made herself very, very sick.
Yes. Well, she broke some unrealized promise or commitment or obligation that was probably given to her. It might have been memory of better times. It might have reminded her of her childhood, but it was something for her to hold on to. And, you know, one of the problems here is that we hold on to these traditions, and we hold on to the myths and the fantasies. And we are increasingly watching that so much of what we wanted to believe was true wasn't.
Right.
And We don't want to give up the fairy tale. We don't want our, if we have kids, we don't want our kids to not have a Christmas. We want them to have a day where they feel special or they feel good or they can get excited. And, but we're not teaching them the right things.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. That's why they can still have a magical morning where they wake up to presents, if that's what you want, but make them meaningful presents, not just stuff, not just toys they're going to throw into a closet and forget about a week later or whatever. Make it meaningful, like you said. Make it, you know, make it an experience. Make it magical without falling behind the commercialism. We just have to choose to do that. You know, each one of us has to choose to take these holy days and make them holy and not make them crap. I don't know what other word I can use on the radio.
Well, I think that we, again, we are frightened. I think that the illusion of the 50s has left the building. So some people are holding on to it madly. But we are seeing that it is not a Norman Rockwell life. No. They're not, there's not Leave It to Beaver families, that there is a lot of suffering and there is a lot of disconnected, and, you know, we're at an all-time high in areas that we shouldn't be, especially being, I mean, personally, being one of the richest countries in the world with an obscenely high poverty level and children that don't get enough to eat. Well, other children are still sitting in gilded rooms surrounded by hundreds and hundreds of dollars of toys that would have been happy with one or two.
Right.
But are being trained. I mean, I always think of that scene in Harry Potter when he does, Dudley has his birthday and he counts his gifts and he realizes he had one less gift than he had last year. But some of these are quite a bit more expensive. I don't care. I had 33 last year. I want... And I thought, oh my God, that says it all. We are going to come right back for our last section. I have something else I'm going to share.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Vox Novus, the new voice. Vox Novus, the new dimension. Vox Novus, thought and movement leaders who will share from their experience and offer tools to help us navigate our rapidly changing world. My name is Victor Furman. Join me every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio for Vox Novus, the new voice.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the last segment of the Dr. Kevin Show on the first Thursday in December, the last month of 2021. Yay, we all survived 2021. I know we were all excited about 2020 and thought that if we made it through 2020, that 2021 would be a piece of cake. I'm not sure that 2021 actually qualified as a piece of cake. I think it came with its own challenges, and we're not going to go into those because this is our Holidays, Holy Days, and Creating Your Own Tradition show, where I am on the air with Lori Powers Otto. And we have been talking about how to find out what is the traditions you want to create, not what were the traditions did you grow up with, and are they still appropriate? Did they work for you? Is that really the message you want to send in the in what you do for your kids? You know, do you want a Dudley as a child that's going to yell and scream and holler if they get one less gift this year than last year? Do you want to make it about value and that some kids have more value because of the families they were born of? I mean, yuck. But you get to create your own traditions. Lori, any thoughts before I bring up a new little subject I have in this rant of mine?
Huh? I just want to encourage everybody listening to really listen to what you're saying and to really take a look at how they're spending these holidays and make them holy days instead. Now, go on your rant.
No, my rant is finished. I'm moving on to something else that I can rant about.
Well, let's go.
So I found this, and I just posted this today or yesterday. I don't know if you've seen it or not, but I kind of like it. And I saw it, and it made me think of you, Lori. It is called the Advent of Kindness Calendar. Did you see that posted? Have you seen that?
I have not.
So it is on my Facebook. So you can go to Facebook, My Dr. Kevin, and find it. But every day it has an act of kindness you can do and it only goes to the 25th. It only goes, I don't know if the last 6 days you got worn out of kindness or whether the picture was just cut off. But I wanted to read some of these. And again, this made me think of you, Miss Lori.
Oh, thank you.
On the first day of December, give someone a hug or a compliment. Well, check. I know I did that. I can't imagine you didn't.
Yeah.
Yep. The nature of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. On December 2nd, let someone in front of you in a line. I didn't have a chance to do that, but maybe I did that when I was driving, actually. I think I slowed down and motioned somebody in, but I didn't do it because it was on the calendar. I think I just did it. The third one, buy a friend or colleague coffee. Well, since I have no friends and I don't work with people, I'm SOL on that.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Don't believe that for a second.
Does it count if I made him coffee at my house?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
It does.
Okay. So here's the fourth one, and I'm probably going too fast because I wanted to get your feedback of what you thought of some of these acts of kindness. It's called the Advent of Kindness.
I brought it up. I love this. I think we should print this out, put it in everybody's mailbox.
Okay. So I'm going to do four, and then you have it up, so I'll have you do five. We'll just take turns doing it, and we'll see if we want to talk about it. Hold the door open for someone. I don't know about you. I do that all the time. How about you?
All the time. It's such an easy thing to do and show kindness. You know,
yep.
I love when holding a door for somebody.
You're up for five.
So on the fifth, give a friend or loved one your full attention. Wow, that's a good one. That's a powerful one. I love that.
Well, I think it is a powerful one. I agree that it is a powerful one. But I see that as a daily requirement.
It should be.
Yeah. Like one day a year, I'm going to give a loved one my full attention. Wow.
The you fact know, we that can. You would,
huh?
At least it would be a start.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and I love the calendar, but I read that one and I was like, really? I don't think that's an act of kindness. I think that's an act of being present and being present in your relationships and valuing them.
I agree. Fortunately, too many people are not present in their relationships. And
yep.
They just go through the day like, you know, on autopilot. This is a good reminder to stop and really connect. I love
yep.
that.
6, donate a Christmas present to a charity. Okay.
Yeah, that's easy enough for anybody to do anymore. Even if you don't have a lot of money, you put, you know, 3 cents into, you know, a jar to raise money for charity, and you've given your 3 cents might be more impactful than someone's $300 because you gave with love.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
You're up for 7.
I'm trying to read it. Tell a joke to make someone smile. Now that's a good one. You never tell any jokes, but you sure do make people smile a lot.
Actually, I tell bad jokes all the time.
I know you do. Well, not bad jokes, but you do tell jokes. And it's one of the things that makes people love you so much.
Yeah. I think if you could, you know, I think we talked about this in a show a long time ago, but I get this email and they have some of the most, and I get it every day, and they have some of the most stupid jokes. I mean, they just really are. I mean, like, you know, you'd have an 8-year-old roll your eyes at some of these, but I read them. And if they make me smile just because they're so stupid, then I tell Jeff. Sometimes I'll tell the joke a couple of times during the day just to get the groan. But the groan comes with a smile.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I have a cousin that posts those jokes, and a friend from New Mexico who posts those jokes every day. And it's some of them just make you want to smack your face, you know, but even those make you smile every time.
Yep. Number 8. Do something kind for yourself. Woo, 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 woo.
I think this one is really important because people forget about themselves all the time. Mm-hmm. And if we could get people starting to do this all the time, the world would be a much better place.
You're up for 9.
Okay. Hide a happy note for someone to find. I love that idea.
Have you ever done that?
I have, actually.
So have I.
And, you know, people who say, well, I don't like to write things. You know what? It doesn't even have to be a note. We had one little girl that painted rocks and put them in people's mailboxes and stuff. Do
yep.
something like that. That's awesome.
Ten, donate unwanted books to charity. Okay.
Absolutely.
I know. I'm a little bit of a book hoarder. I only have 5 or 6, maybe 7 bookcases in my house. Awful.
Oh, yeah, I've seen them.
Oh, yeah. But you've never seen the boxes in the basement of the books that don't fit in the bookcases, you know, just in case. I mean, and Jeff is as bad as I am. So we're cuckoo for Cocoa Pops. In fact, we got some boxes of books we need to give away. Tape some money on a vending machine. I've never done that.
I've never done that either. But this is to say, or just put the money in the vending machine, right? And then someone can come and, oh, look, there's money, and get what they need out of it.
Yeah.
Or take it, and if someone takes it, then they probably needed it. I like that idea. I think that's interesting. I've never, in all these type of things, that one has never come up in quite that manner. I'm going to think about that.
You're up all for right. 12.
Yeah. Smile at a stranger, or two, or 15. And I like that. Smiling costs you nothing. And it is contagious. Just try it. Smile at some grumpy guys. If they smile, then the next person's going to smile. And soon everybody's smiling. I like that one.
Just
you, you're a grumpy
there. No, no. Just people understand. I just want people out there. Do not confuse a smile with a smirk. It's not the same thing.
That's too funny.
I look at it. I saw that and I read it and I said, you want me to limit myself to 15? Boy, you're no fun. I'm always smiling at everybody.
Right. So make it 150.
There you go. Slow day at the morgue. Go ahead.
That's right.
Get in touch with an old friend or relative.
Yeah. That's a good one, too. How often do we think about people and never call them? Or, you know, Facebook them, Instagram them, however people talk these days. I like that one.
Yep. And I can actually say I've recently done that. I reached out to an old friend, and we're going to hopefully get together for coffee. So...
Yeah. Last week reached out to somebody. I need to do that more often, though. Hey, right, what's 14? Okay. Now, 14, I have to say, I have a little bit of problem with. Let a car in front of you in traffic. Only if you're not causing chaos and backing up people behind you.
Okay.
Because you're being nice to one person, but you're being rude to a whole bunch of others.
Yeah, I think it depends on the situation.
When right. That's what
long, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, situational awareness on that one.
15. Write or send a thank you note to someone. Oh. This hits some stuff with me because I keep swearing I want to get back in the habit of handwriting thank you notes and sending them. I even have bought some. I even have the stamps. But it's a good thing to do. But we're going to be out of time shortly, so we may just have to read through the rest of these so people can do them.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. No, well, we can still do it every other one. 16, you're up.
Smile and thank someone who serves you, obviously.
All the time.
Yeah.
Tell someone you love them.
Yes. Pay for a stranger.
I love you.
I love you, Dr. Kevin. You know that. Oh, my.
Okay, go ahead. I took that one off the box.
Yeah. Pay for a stranger's coffee that's become a big thing, and I really like it. Makes a lot of people happy.
At the very least, it makes them caffeinated. offer to help someone.
Yeah. And then we have feed animals, birds, deer, etc. That's a good one,
all
too.
All the time.
Yep.
I've got four bird feeder going, a squirrel feeder. Like, I just feed anything that comes in near my house gets fed. donate unwanted clothes to charity.
Yes, absolutely. You'll feel better about that. Do something unexpected for someone. Ooh, I like that too.
Yep. And give a treat to your postal carrier.
Let's see. And then 24, do something kind for yourself. Ah,
so they went twice. They, and on the 25th of Christmas, reflect and record how much joy this season brought you.
Yeah, that is, I like that. I like that. And on the 25th, you sit and reflect.
Laurie, thank you so much. It's been so much fun having you. Let's not make it so long before you get back.
I will do my best. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Next week, Matt Connerton and I will poke around at what's going on in the world here on the Dr. Kevin Show.